Everybody, it's Christy Holmick, and this is our alum call for January. So if you are listening in and on the phone and have a question, you can press star 2, just like we did during the workshop. If you are on the webcast, you can type your questions into the little Q&A box there, and I will check in on those and get back to you. And if you're doing that, if you could type in your name too, because it doesn't show me who's asking the question. So I know there were a couple of people who said they were going to hop on, so I wanted to go over a couple of things. If you're on and you can hear me okay, if you could press star 2 real quick just so I know that, okay, thanks everybody, that you can hear me all right. Okay, so some of you have been posting questions in our alum group, and that's good. I know everybody's in different spots with everything that they're working on in their businesses and with their PDFs. So I have been doing some 15-minute freebie sessions. Some of you may have seen those posted on my Facebook page and in my newsletter and around Facebook. If you are interested in doing one of those, you guys definitely can sign up for one of those. I will send you an email link to that, and I can review something that you guys have done, or we can just chat, brainstorm for 15 minutes. And if you want to do something beyond that, I'll send you some information on some consulting packages too. I know some of you would like a little bit more feedback on your PDFs. So that's one way to get a little bit of me for free, and then also get some extra input from me via consulting. I also wanted to mention that if you haven't signed up to be an affiliate for the workshop, you're welcome to do that. Last time I paid out, I think around $400 to affiliates. And so if you're interested in that, I will again send the link to do that for you to sign up for that in the email when I send out the recording for this. I have pages open so I can answer your questions about pages. If you have a Word question, I may need to get back to you, because the way that I run Word on my machine is through Parallels, and it does not work well with Skype and with Internet Explorer open. So if you have a Word question, definitely ask it, and if I can't pull it out of the top of my head, then I will look it up for you and get that answer back to you. So if you have a question, go ahead and put it in the Q&A if you're on listening on the webcast, or press star 2 to raise your hand, and we will get going with questions. Rebecca, you got a question?
Thank you. I am adding page numbers to my document.
Okay.
And do other people struggle with this?
Yeah, it's a pain.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
I think when my daughter was home, she said, you know, Mom, I think I would just copy and paste boxes into it. Is that what you would do?
Are you in which kind of document are you in?
It's the one I'm never going to do again.
The word processing one?
Yes.
Yeah. You can do it that way. You have to, you know, make your box and then go up and insert a page number into that box.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to do it. If you have... well, you've already laid it all out. Next time you do it, you could go ahead and put that on your main, your pages that you capture that you want to reuse over and over, your template pages, and then you wouldn't have to add that box in every time. But
so since I'm just now creating the template for my ebook, tell me how to do it, because I've laid that out in the other one than Word processing. What's
the
other one?
Yeah, in the page layout
yeah.
format.
So help me do it, because that one is almost 100 pages long in my mapping. So I want to make sure I do that one the right way. So help me know how to do that one.
So do you have some pages that you've laid out and you're going to capture to use as a template?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you're going to want to go to those pages and put that text box on there and go to the insert and page number. When you're in that box with your cursor blinking, add that page number in there. It's insert and page number.
In the inspector? No, insert up at the top.
So if you made a text box, go up to your, I'm skipping ahead of you. Go up to your menu at the very top and say insert page number.
Okay.
And then it will show a little, the page number there. Then you'll need to actually recapture that page so that you have it with that page number box in it captured up in your pages so you can just pull it down and use it again.
Do you have to actually press recapture?
Let's see. Advanced.
Advanced.
And see.
It's always that advanced thing.
Advanced. It's going to have to go back, and capture it again and just call it, if you want to rename it and say with page number or something so you know that that has a page number on it.
Okay.
Whatever makes sense in the naming hierarchy that you've created for yourself.
Okay. I think the key thing that I miss is choosing the advanced option.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you get stuck, let me know and I'll look and see which exact screencast that was in. But it's just a little bit wonky, and it's wonky in Word too. So
no matter what,
it's
normal that I'm struggling with this.
Yeah.
I'm pretty impressed with things that I'm not struggling with anymore, though. I think the bottom line is practicing helps. I'm really excited about that. So
good.
The longer I do it, the more things come sort of naturally. I'm amazed at how many times I go to that inspector and things work out, or things that I go to the top of the page for, and I'm starting to relax about it.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that, even when I go away from pages and I'm out of it for several weeks and then I come back, I'm kind of like, okay, I have to recall how to do all this stuff again. And so all this stuff doesn't stick in our head unless we continue to just do it. So just know that and know that take a break from it for a while and then come back to it. There's going to be a little bit of acclimation back to this is the way this specific program does.
Okay.
So.
And then there's when I imported one of the templates that is in Pages, and I didn't want the lead page that they had, it's the one with a whole bunch of kids on it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I dumped the title page, it imported a little, almost like a header onto, or a footnote onto all my pages.
Okay, that's going to be an inspector thing.
Okay.
And it's in the layout, which is like the second one over here, and in section. And I think that it probably has continue from the previous section selected, or there's other option there, use previous headers and footers. So if you play around with those options there, it may be inheriting that from that page and then just applying it onward.
Okay. And just uncheck the box or something like that?
Yeah, give it a try. I don't know why it would be adding that other than that, but
okay.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. And I think it's just sometimes it's just playing around with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Christy.
All right. Thanks, Rebecca. Okay, Amy.
Hi. I have a lot of questions because I've been hard at work on this the last 24 hours. So
right.
Things are all swirling around in my head. actually, my first question was about page numbers as well, which is funny. But I'm working in Word.
Yes.
And it's working pretty well, but my question was more about basically what happened was I started laying out pages and spent at least a couple hours on it last night, and then came back this morning and realized, oh, maybe I should have a footer, with a page number and the title. And then I realized that it wasn't going to work with some of my page layouts because, for example, on one page I have a photo that spans the entire bottom. It's kind of like a band along the bottom of the page.
Mm-hmm.
And then on another one I have kind of a similar thing, but it's just like a color, a filled-in colored box at the bottom of the page. So is it okay if I have, the format is the same, but the header doesn't, or the footer doesn't actually appear on every page?
Mm-hmm.
Because basically I have something else where it would go. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Okay.
And I think you can do that by making different sections. You can have different footers on different sections.
Right, exactly. I figured that out because I was trying to figure out how to not have the footer on the front page and stuff. So then the ones where I have that layout and the page number at the bottom of the page won't work, should I put it somewhere else or should I just leave it off of that page entirely?
I would just leave it off of there, yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Excellent. So that was my first question. If you have other people in the queue, feel free to go to someone else and come back. I have
nobody else is asking anything, so it's all you.
All right. Well, let me know if someone else pops in because you can cut me off.
Right.
So this is also kind of related to something you were talking about just a minute ago with the other caller, that I have now by hand done, I guess, maybe about four different page layouts. And now, would love to not have to – I have about 40 pages left to go. So would love to not have to recreate that every time. So how do I go about taking what I have already and making it into – capturing that as some kind of template that I can copy into another page.
Mm-hmm. There's a screencast that goes through the template process. The biggest difference between Word and Pages is that in Pages you can actually they call it capture. You can actually capture a page look and then reuse that page look. And in Word, you kind of have to capture the elements on that page and then add those elements to a new page whenever you add that new page in. So for instance, if you have a specific style on a border on one of your photos and maybe a caption under it, you can make those into building blocks. That's what Word calls them, and save that. And then when you add a new page, you add that building block in there, and then you can switch out the photo and it would still have that same frame and the same caption box and everything on it.
Okay, got it. Yeah, and now I remember that that video.
Yeah, it's
which I watched a while ago. Do you remember which module that's in?
I don't know off the top of my head. I can look it up. It's going to be in one of the later modules, one of the last ones.
Okay.
With one of the bonus materials, I think. So
okay.
That I would
take
six or seven for you. But that's one of the more frustrating parts with Word is that it doesn't it's not as flexible in that way in terms of repeating layouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so that kind of segues into one of my other questions, which is how many different page layouts should I have? I'm wondering if it gets too busy if, every page is totally different. And also, for example, I have at least, I think I have two pages right now that have a colored band down the right side with text and a photo in it. But because of the layout of the rest of the page and because of the size of the photo and whatever, the sidebars aren't the same width. So I'm wondering how important it is for that stuff to be consistent.
In terms of how many different layouts, I think you want to keep it to if you think about like reading a book or reading a magazine or whatever, you know, they have their chapter opener and they have their feature image or whatever, and then they have their kind of department-y pages, which all look very similar. So if you had three or four different looks that you could use a chapter opener, that sort of thing, I think that would work well.
Okay.
But it depends on your content. So what does your content say it needs? You know, does it need a photo? Does it need the sidebar? I think that's going to determine more so the look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then I have, so you saw a little bit of my content earlier, and so there's, you know, kind of the main text, and then there's a lot of examples. I don't have an example person for every, you know, to go with every page of content, but I'm realizing, like, even those examples are handled differently. Like, some of them are in those side, you know, colored bars on the right. Some of them are in, like, a text box, and some of them are white text boxes, and some of them are green text boxes.
Yeah.
So maybe I should treat all of the examples the same way, for,
example. I think that's a great idea, because it will speed it up for you also. And it'll just be consistent, so that they, when your reader's going through, they're like, okay, this is that same sort of content again, you know.
Right.
And it's
like,
not,
if I like the examples, I can look for the examples. They're always in the sidebar or whatever.
Yeah, because we go based on a visual clue. So if it looks different visually, then our brain's like, oh, well, that's different. That's a different sort of information that she's giving me here, versus this is the same sort of information that I'm getting here.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm thinking maybe it's more important to maybe not worry about the width of the sidebar so much, but, yeah, to make sure every time I use a sidebar, it has the same kind of content. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, and you can be consistent in terms of, you know, your background color, the fonts that you use in it, that kind of stuff. All that's going to help you. It's going to help it look cohesive, and it's just going to help you speed up the process, because you don't have to rethink how it's going to look every time you do it.
Right, and making all of these different kinds of text boxes and stuff is – taking forever.
Yeah.
I just spent like half an hour on this one working box with a photo and and text in it. Okay. Yeah, that sounds really good. Then I think probably my last question for now is, I was having problems with photos moving around. Actually, not just the photos, even these, you know, I've made kind of a shape that would make this colored band on the side of the page. And then I keep working, go to some other stuff, and then I scroll back up, and it's like there's a band of white showing at the top or whatever. And I think I figured out at least part of how to keep them in place. There was something in the options to uncheck a box that says move with text,
yes,
or something like that,
and
also lock anchor. But I did all of that, and some of them are still moving. Like, very subtly.
Yeah.
Like a pixel. But then they're not, you know, then I have three photos that are, like, literally, you know, on top of each other with no space between them. And so with one of them moves over a tiny bit, you can tell they're not in line.
Yeah. There's, in part, this is just Word. One of the biggest things about Word is it develops so that you build your document go as you go, like from cover to end, which isn't exactly like how real design works. Real design, you're kind of shipping back and forth between lots of pages. But because Word is primarily the word processor, it's like you type this document in and it's all in order. And then you don't ever move anything again, because then you're screwed. But one of the so that's part of it, is moving in and back and editing and doing all that freaks Word out, and it doesn't know what to do with everything. But there is, and I can't remember off the top of my head, so I'll look up, but when you're clicked on a photo, you can go and specify a specific location on the page. So, for instance, if you wanted a photo to be in the left-hand corner always, you can specify that it be at a fixed position of zero, you know, horizontal and zero vertical, and it would put that left corner of that photo up in the top left-hand corner of your page.
Right.
So there's the option to do that, and there's also the text wrapping stuff, and that can impact the way the photos bump together and stay together and stuff too.
Yeah.
If you're wanting two photos to stay together for certain. You may want to edit those in, you know, Photoshop or whatever, and put them together as one image. You know what I mean? Like stack them together in Photoshop, one JPEG with them together. And that way you'll know for certain that Word's not going to split them up. It won't be able to.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I had, I'll have to think about that. Because I have a couple of places where I have, like, kind of a line of three photos, either vertical or horizontal.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the alignment is key.
Yeah. And even if you want to, even if you want a white space between them, you can put that white space in Photoshop or PicMonkey or whatever and get them all lined up how you want and then stick it in there as one image so that Word knows it's one image and doesn't try to do things with it. So.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And actually, I have something similar with – I just started adding captions because I have all these travel photos and I want to actually be able to tell people where they are. And in some places, again, I didn't plan for it, so there's not room around the photo to add a caption, so I'm putting it, like, on top of the photo. Mm-hmm. And so I made a text box and put the caption in a text box. But I'm worried that that might go wonky down the road, too, so I'm wondering, maybe I should just make all of those, you know, like, create it elsewhere and bring it all in as one piece.
You can. The caution there for you is to make sure that you're creating them at the size that you need them to be in the document so that you're not ending up with, like, you have a really large photo and you put your text across it and then you actually have to scale it down in Word. And so then you'd end up with the photos with a whole bunch of different size fonts on them. So, so I think actually putting that text box above on top of the photo is probably the best way of doing it. Keep it consistent and to not drive yourself crazy with trying to figure out what size they need to be and all that. And that's like one of those like editing things though, where like when you output your PDF and get ready to put it up, you need to put that on your little checklist and say, okay, make sure that all the photo captions are still in their place. And I think that'll be your check for yourself to make sure that that happens. And even in like magazines, stuff shifts around and you'll be like, I've been on press before at the press, at the magazine printer. And it's like, how did that text box get there? It's not supposed to be there, you know? So it happens. And somebody will probably be like, Amy on page 12, there's, you know, somebody will point it out to you. You can go change it.
Yeah. So. Right. That's the good thing, I guess, about it not being print, right?
Yes. Definitely.
Okay. Well, and that's good to know what you said about it kind of thinking in a top-down order, because then maybe I shouldn't even be worrying about the fact that those photos are moving until everything's done, and I'll just go back to the top and go through everything one more time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's probably put them in where you kind of know you want them now, and then when you've got everything settled in, go back page by page. And, you know, even in Pages and in InDesign, stuff shifts around. And so it is that, like, last step of saying, okay, let's go back through this page by page and make sure that how I want it to look is really how it's looking.
Right. Okay. All right. Awesome. I think that's it. I'm on a roll.
All right. A couple of people just popped in. And so if you have a question, it is star 2 to raise your hand. I'm going to check and see if anybody's asked a question over on the webcast thingy. Nope. And in our Facebook group. Nope. Okay, so Carmel, you're
Hi,
on.
Hi, Christy. Hi, how are you? Was that Amy Scott I just caught at the end?
Yeah, that was Amy.
Great. I know she's really going ahead with the ebook. So I just a quick question, because I am going to talk to you after I get a little more headway with my new ebook. Mm-hmm. But I also want to do, you and I had spoken about this in the beginning of the course, a manifesto. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I was going through the modules again, my eye was on the ebook, so maybe I didn't pay attention. Is there a template for that? Or is that,
no,
just,
not-
you know, when I, no, it's just something you create, moving text around.
Yeah, and those are really, I think, a place where you can really be on brand and really make something that's very specific to your brand. So they're very much more so a creation process versus going from a template. But you could use either of the templates in the workshop and really customize those if you wanted a starting spot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So it's really just playing with it. Yeah, you had suggested that from the beginning, and I've now come full circle and back to that. So you're right.
Yeah, and I think, I was trying to think of some examples. Like, Daniel Laporte stuff is all really manifesto-ish, you know. Chris Carr had kind of a manifesto kind of tips sort of thing. It was like a bunch of little tips together, all designed pretty fancy. You know, it's kind of one of those more so, like I said, just come up with how you want this to look, and it doesn't have an ebook kind of thing. It's
I'm thinking of it more as a almost like a Lululemon type of, obviously not copying them, but in my own way, but a one page, because I've really figured out how to combine the two businesses under the brand, and I just want to use words to make that clear and visual.
There's also in Pages, there's a, I know we were talking about travel stuff before, but there's one template in there that's very much travel oriented, and I thought maybe it had some stuff in there that you would be interested in. I mean, I think it's actually even specific to Italy, so.
I have to go back and look at that. Okay.
Remember which one it is, but it's in the templates that come with Pages. In one of the brochures or something like that, maybe newsletters.
I will, and it's good just to be actually in the actual process of all of this instead of the conceptual. So I'm finally learning. So I'll play around with that. Thank you so much.
Okay,
as always, you are so generous. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Camille. Okay, so anybody else, everybody that's on has asked a question. If you have another question, feel free to star 2, raise your hand. And if nobody has other questions, then we will head out, and I will check back in with you guys next month. Oh, Amy does. Hey, Amy.
Hi. I was racking my brain. I'm like, there's got to be something else while we're here. Yeah, my other thought that I was struggling with a little bit today was that, so I followed your video and set up, you know, my theme colors, my theme fonts and all of that, and it's great. But now I can't, I'm just making everything green. Like, I can't figure out where to incorporate other accent colors. So the text is a, like, super dark gray, and then basically the headers, the borders around text boxes, the sidebars are all green. And I'm like, well, that's like a little, maybe it's too much green, but nothing's jumping out at me as a logical place to add another accent. So I just wanted to hear some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think like your sidebars are a spot to do that. And I mean, you can take the green back a little bit, so you can do a little bit less of it and see how that looks. Try it on a page and just see if a little bit less green feels better. I have that orange color, and sometimes I'm just like, I am so sick of orange, you know?
Right.
Honestly. And so I think going back to the color picker stuff and the color palette stuff and just seeing what other colors might interest you and maybe adding that to one page and just seeing what it looks like. Might be a good thing to do. And I don't know if you were on whenever at the beginning of the call, but if you want to sign up for a 15-minute thing and send me your PDF whenever you're getting closer to getting it done, and I could take a look at it too.
Yeah, I heard you mention that, and I definitely think that would be helpful. The way I have it set up in the theme is green and purple. Because that was kind of where I was coming from with my website. I'm just going through. I have one place where I added a little bit of purple. But maybe I'll just have to play around with it and, just see how it looks.
And the thing with purple is that it kind of starts getting pinkish if you do it like a lighter tone or a can. So,
yeah, it's pretty dark, but I'm almost actually think it might be too dark. So you don't necessarily like immediately see it as purple.
Right.
It just looks dark, you know? So I might have to play around with the tone a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you have like rule lines anywhere, that sort of thing. If you have borders on your photos, those little pops of color that you could add in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll have to take a look and just play around a little bit.
Yeah. I think that's,
I mean, luckily it's easy to change those, you know, if I just make a border blue or a purple and then I can change
yeah.
it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Cool. Thanks.
All right. Okay. So last call. Anybody else? Let me check over on the webcast and our Facebook page and see if somebody has questions. Nope. Okay. All righty. I'm going to let you guys go. Thanks for stopping by and asking questions. And I will see you around on Facebook, etc. Bye, everybody.